Welcome to Faith Break, finding God moments in your everyday. Each week on Faith Break, hosts Karen Luke and Ann Gallagher bring spiritual refreshment to your daily life. On today's episode for January 19th, 2025, Karen and Ann avoid getting stuck in a faith rut by reflecting on the importance of ordinary moments in building a legacy of love.
Welcome back, everybody, to Faith Break. My name is Ann.
And I am Karen.
And we are co-workers, lay ministers, moms, wives, and friends. And we are here to help you find your everyday God moments.
Yes.
So today we are, I feel like today's topic is actually just sort of what the entire podcast is about.
Right.
Because we are looking for the extraordinary in ordinary time. So we have just come out of the Christmas season. Last week we celebrated the baptism of the Lord. And now we are in that, the shorter period of ordinary time between the Christmas season and the beginning of Lent.
Yeah.
At the beginning of March. So yeah, so we have a couple of quiet winter months where we're not in a high liturgical season. We're just back in ordinary time, spending time with Jesus as he's doing his public ministry.
I like what you said about the extraordinary in the ordinary, because we have these highs of Advent and the waiting, and then Christmas. And then after, we have the 12 days, right?
Yep.
Christmas doesn't end on December 25th.
Nope.
But like, these were extraordinary moments that really pull out who Jesus was and what he was meant to be and who we are called to be.
Yeah.
So I don't even like the word ordinary in this, because there's more to it than just, okay, waiting for Lent.
Right. Yeah, we're not just like hitting the pause button for the next three months or 2 months until we can jump into the next big season. But I think there's a lot of wisdom, too, in the church's cycle of the liturgical year, just because our lives are like that, too, right? Like, we have high moments.
Right.
We have feast days, and we have low moments when, you know, like, things are just really hard. And I think for me, sometimes it's, whether it's a high point or a low point, it can be easier to find God in those times than in the ordinary, but like small o ordinary times.
Because
when things are going really well, when you're in a high point, you know,
you think about it.
You're filled with gratitude. You're filled with joy. It's easy to give praise to God in those moments. And when you're in difficulty, I think we can draw close to God for comfort and for peace and for, but just when you're in the grind, that's where the challenge is.
Yeah. Remember when we talked about, like, was it, I don't even remember which one it was, but we talked about how being grateful for making dinners or breakfast, like your everyday moments, like, oh, I'm so grateful for having to do laundry today or whatever. And it's like, ugh, but we need those moments because I think it also helps us be more grateful and understanding where God is when we do have those highs and lows.
Yeah.
That it's not just this monotonous life we live.
Right. And I think with this particular, you know, the shorter period of ordinary time, it hits in, you know, January and February, which, I mean, there's really no quiet months when you're a parent with busy kids and a job and everything.
Right.
But in the wintertime, I think there is sort of a little bit of a sense of quietness, at least in the world around us, in the natural world around us anyway. So I think in this part of ordinary time, it can be a nice call to just sort of take some time after the holidays, but before everything gets going again in the spring, to just be a little grounded.
After Easter, you get like Mother's Days, graduations, then it's summer. And
all the stuff.
It's like doot-doot-doot-doot.
Right.
And then Advent. Where we bring it all back in. But
yeah. So the whole liturgical year is like this cycle of ups and downs. And so now we're in kind of like a stretch. We're in kind of a calm stretch. So yeah. So that is where we find us. Karen, what in your like everyday faith life helps you, you know, on just like an ordinary day? What are the things that keep you going?
My family, really, like it's a the things I do for me, but for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like it just helps navigate and puts things, if I didn't have them, I probably would be such a bum. I would literally.
You wouldn't have to adult quite so much if you didn't have the kids in the house, right?
But like, I was talking to Jeremy the other day about that. I was like, what did we used to do
with our free time
when we were first married without kids and we would come home from work? Like, I literally could not remember that. And it wasn't even that long ago.
I know.
But they keep me grounded, even though it's crazy.
Yeah.
But I think them, and then obviously the daily prayer. Mm-hmm. And we're very blessed that we can just walk into the chapel or.
Yeah.
You know, that I think also grounds me is the the ability to go to daily mass and just be in the presence of coworkers that have the similar values and things like that. So
yeah, we have a lot of blessings working for the church.
We do.
I feel you that having the chapel right there, and I don't go in every day, but I do sometimes go in if I just need five minute break, go sit down, be with Jesus, get back to my day. Yeah. It's a huge blessing.
It is. Resets and the regrounding,
right.
And it's like, okay, this is not only this is what I'm like, because we're unique, right? Like, this is our
ministry. Most people don't have that,
but our livelihood is also our ministry,
right?
So, sometimes I don't even feel like it's my job,
right?
Because it's my calling. So it's like a weird, a weird situation.
Yeah.
But
I was thinking about just the way that the years flow. And, you know, we're still in January, so we're like at the very beginning of 2025 here.
Where we have all these hopes and.
We have all these hopes and dreams. Goals. But like to look back and like I started in ministry in 2000. That's the year I graduated from college. So it's like 25 years I've been.
Yeah. I'm right behind you.
Up every day. And
I'm right behind you.
Coming to work at the church and, you know, even as a parent, because our kids are teens now. Well, Connor's not, but
he's
our older.
Pretty much.
But like, have you ever heard the people say like the days are long, but the years are short?
Yes.
And I've just really been thinking about that lately because it feels so true. Because like at the same exact time, I feel like I blinked and like decades passed, right? Like, and you know, like you were saying, like, not like, what did we do when we were first married and didn't have kids? Like, that was like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know. But like all those years were made up of days, where we woke up and we brushed our teeth and we drove to work and we dealt with whatever was, you know, and then when our kids came, we were feeding them and caring for them and all like just the daily tasks that make up a life.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just the reassurance that all of that is holy is very comforting, because I think for me, the temptation can be like to think those small things don't matter.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Because you're folding laundry every day. You know, my kids get
you
off the bus.
You do it every day.
I do one load every day.
Oh, I need to take tips from you.
and that's how I keep my head above water. But, you know, and you got to make dinner every day. My kids get off the bus and they're like, what are we having for dinner? I'm like, I don't know. What are you going to make for dinner today? Like that, you know, it never ends.
Yeah.
Those details of life never ends. The garbage always has to be taken out. The bills always have to be paid. Like, and even the things we do for work, the programs we run are like the highlight of what we do. Right.
Yeah.
But there's so much administrative
it.
Stuff that, you know, we just do in the background that you just got to deal with.
And we're both in this position now. We've talked about it before, but like, I'm sure a lot of our listeners and friends are in the same position. Like, we're in that sandwich generation.
Right.
So not only are we continuing our care for our families or whoever we have that relationship with. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not singling out just families, but but you also have the relationships with your parents and aunts and uncles, and if you're blessed, still grandparents. Mm-hmm. So it's like this weird, I got to do this, but then having the blessing of being able to have all that other stuff that you need to deal with.
Right. I remember this was like somebody's TED Talk. I don't remember who. It might have been like Brené Brown. I don't. But she was talking about the cathedral. Have you heard this like story? I'm not going to tell it right, but the kind of the moral of it was, you know how like the cathedrals in Europe took like decades to build.
Yeah.
And so like the people who started them
never got to see the fruits of it.
And like so many people over the years contributed, you know, like architects and artisans and just people doing the grunt work. Like so many people over so much time contributed to make this beautiful thing that will be around forever and will house people's prayers, right? Yeah. And but when you're lifting that stone, that one stone, minute after minute, day after day, it can be hard to see what you're really doing, like what you're really contributing to. And I think as parents and as ministers, it can feel that way a lot, right? Like you're just, you get focused on the bricks that you're lifting every day and you forget what you're really building.
Yeah.
And so, this talk I heard like many years ago was just an acknowledgement, like God sees what you are doing every time you lift a brick.
Right.
And God sees what you're building with all of these pieces that are coming together. So I think that's our call in ordinary time, is just to keep the perspective that even though we're just doing one load of laundry at a time, we're cooking one dinner at a time, we're handling one budget meeting at a time or whatever it is, that it all is working together to create something that matters to God. You know,
and matters in our end too,
right?
Like we talk about legacies, or what are we? You know, in Advent we talked about traditions, and I think it's so funny because I'm the youngest in our family, and I am the most stuck on tradition.
I wonder if that's common, because my little sister can get.
Oh,
really,
my gosh. And my brother and sister are like, all right, we got to move on from this because it's not working. I'm like, no, we have to be at mom and dad's on Christmas Day. And that's not going to happen. But it's having those moments. And I just had a baptism prep meeting.
Yes.
With a new family and all the, I love babies. but I was like, it's never too early. Mm-hmm. To start those traditions.
Right.
And to like start molding and building whatever legacy you want to leave and have that, those relationships and those building blocks of what it means to be not only parents, but a spouse and a friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot that goes into it. And like we were talking about the next 2 months, it's really short in ordinary time.
Yep.
But we are going from like the high of Advent and the Christmas blessings and the family and the gatherings and all of that to carry us through into this time of reflecting on everything that has just happened.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, you're talking about like the sandwich generation stuff and like the being working. I have this feeling that right now, it's like high summer in the seasons of our lives, right? Because even though we're in winter time now and the days are short, like in terms of the span of our lifetime, like we're packing so much work into every day right now that it's, you know, it's high summer. If we were farmers, we'd be like out there every day in the soil working things and tilling things. And
I'd be totally fine with that.
It's like, just don't blink though, right? Because you know it's not going to last forever. Like we've talked before, like our kids are going to be out of the house one day, not too far from now.
We talked about that yesterday. We realized that like both of our oldest are going to be at a milestone next year for their birthdays.
Yep.
And I was like, how?
Yeah.
How did that? And when I first had Emma, people were like, oh, it goes by so fast. I'm like, oh, whatever, whatever. And now it's like,
I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
It did. And then my mom even says that. She's mm-hmm. like, I can't believe not only that you are in your 40s, she's talking to me, mm-hmm. but I have a 20-year-old granddaughter.
Right. That's just totally like, unfair.
That's weird.
It's like, I always say Father Mike. I had a birthday recently, and Father Mike, our retired pastor, takes my birthdays even harder than my dad does Aww. Because he hired me back at Good Shepherd when I was 22, coming right out of college. Yeah. So he's known me like my whole adult life. And every time I have a birthday, he's just like, what are you now, 35? And I'm like, nope, this is not what's happening here.
Well, yeah, because then it's like this inevitable. It makes him older. And I remember when I got invited to one of my old youth group kids' weddings.
Yes.
And I'm like, no, mm-hmm. you're still like 16.
I know.
And I have become that person, like when I see my cousin's kids, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I remember when you were this. And I was, oh my gosh, I'm doing what yeah. I always hated my aunts
right.
or my mom's cousins doing to me. Like, yeah, that's what happens.
Oh, man.
But in the yeah. ordinary,
in the ordinary,
we haven't discussed our God moment.
I was just remembering we haven't had our God moment. We were usually begin with that. Should we do it now?
Yeah, I think it'll be good. Because, I mean, it ties into
yep.
remembering the moment. So yeah. what is yours?
Oh, okay. So I had a God moment this morning. I got a text message from a mom of a teen in our program who was checking about where she could drop her kids' NCYC registration form because we're in the process of getting our pilgrim group together for that. And we have an early deadline coming up. And so it was a God moment because this wasn't necessarily someone I would have thought
yeah.
like hadn't mentioned to me before that they were interested, is kind of new to us. So it was just one of those like, oh,
yay.
You know, you get to see the seeds being yeah. planted. And then you texted me and you were like, oh, we got our first registration for the Alpha program, which yeah. is coming up this spring. So, you know, we're in the winter here in ordinary time, but like I can see that God is planting seeds
yeah.
That are going to bear fruit in the future. So I
know.
Just love those little moments. That's when you get
so awesome. I'm in this like thing with NCYC.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I really want to go and help. But I was like, there's other people that need to experience it. So I got to figure this out myself.
We'll figure it
out.
If
you haven't been to NCYC, oh my gosh, it's such... That's awesome. My God moment actually mm-hmm. happened on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I was working with the religious ed. We had a religious ed class. And I walked into church to start greeting people. And I saw my mom. And she
yeah.
showed up for Mass. And I was like, oh. And she's like, can you sit with me? And I'm like, I don't know. Because I was in the middle of a bunch of different stuff. And then it worked out. And I sat with her and no one disturbed me.
Like it's a Christmas miracle.
I did not have to plunge a toilet. I did not have to add toilet paper. I yep. did not have to.
Nobody passed out.
No one passed out. Yep. Nothing. It was just, and you, we were talking with somebody and they're like, you know how sometimes you just reach out and hold hands?
Yeah.
At Mass. And my mom, she would just like randomly hold my hand.
Aww.
And like squeeze it at certain moments. And, you know, it was just so nice to just be in that space.
I love that.
With my mom.
Hey.
And so, yeah, it was.
That's great.
It was great. I was like, oh, God is good with Christmas miracles.
So, yeah, that's a great, like, ordinary time moment too, I think, because like coming to Mass every week, I mean, it's different for us because we work for the church, so we're always working, but that's part of our ordinary routine as Catholics,
yeah.
right? We show up for Mass every week, even if we don't really feel like going, or even if it's not really seeming like it's feeding us, we still show up when
yeah.
we show up for each other, and we show up for the Eucharist, and we know that that bears fruit in our life,
yeah.
in our lives over time. I think ordinary time is a great time to think about what routines work for us.
I don't know what that
person.
Word is.
This is where our personality differences are going to
I am totally
shine light.
Type B. I just, I wake up, I'm like, hey, what needs to get done today?
Okay, for me, the routine is helpful. You know my routine.
I love your routine.
You know, like daily, I think just having like, if I didn't have a routine, I don't think I would ever do anything. I don't think I would ever like, especially like prayer time. Like I know myself and I know I will get carried away with other things that need to get done and I won't like, so I guess I would just, you know, it doesn't need to be, we don't all need to go on a week-long retreat every year. If you can, that's fantastic, right. And you should totally do that. But, like, God will show up in small moments in your everyday if you just give a little space and a little time. And so if there's just any little thing you can commit to for this period of ordinary time, I would encourage people to do that. And one thing we haven't talked about a whole lot on the podcast lately is the whole idea of spiritual direction.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's something in my life that has definitely helped me to walk through ordinary time and also the highs and lows of my life. But I've been meeting with a spiritual director pretty much monthly for years. And I think having somebody in that role in our lives can be just a great gift.
Yeah.
A lot of people in our parishes come to that for the first time if they are doing the 19th Annotation Retreat, which is Ignatius's spiritual exercises in everyday life. But it's a good practice for everybody.
Yeah.
And I think we have some resources on our websites. If you are looking for a spiritual director, we have some people and friends who do that.
Yeah. And for those that don't know, like, what a spiritual director is, it's different than like a therapist or anything. They try, you talk and they try to help you figure out your God moments.
Right.
And where you might have missed a sign or something, or which direction you want to move into. I will say I miss going. Like, so when I did the spiritual exercises, I had somebody and we met weekly.
Yeah.
And it was like, I was so excited to go. And then after, just because of my spiritual director, she was so involved with the direction, the Ignatian spirituality, that I couldn't continue to see her.
Right.
So that was like, oh, bummer. But not everyone can commit to that.
Right.
Time frame. So if you have a personality like me, that's just like, hey, even a 5 minutes before bed or we're doing this, we're recording now, but my tree is still up, even though it's after Christmas. But that's I love my 15 minutes with my Christmas tree lit.
Yeah.
And, or I put candles on and just everything is quiet. And with the chaos of the world and all the noise that we are bombarded with, even if you just turn off your radio in the car and drive to work in silence.
Yeah. I mean, using your commute and you could use your commute in so many ways. Like you could have silence if that's what you needed.
Or try it if it makes you nervous.
Right. Right, because it's a limited period of time, right?
So,
you have an exit strategy. You could listen to Christian music.
Yep.
You could listen to a podcast like this one on your commute. But like finding those pockets of your day where you can like just kind of allow the holy to arise and just kind of bless your ordinary moments.
Yeah. Because it's in the quiet that we hear or try to hear. It's the whispers. Yeah. We talked about that on some of our other podcasts with the prophets.
Yep.
You know, they heard everything through the wind and the whisper quiet. And I get nervous with quiet.
Yeah.
I always feel like I got to fill it with something.
Mm-hmm.
So that I like to challenge myself with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's good. If I'm always just praying one certain way, I feel like it gets monotonous or...
Right.
Then it starts to not feel like I'm praying. Like if I'm just listening to Christian music, it's like, oh, am I really praying it? Or I'm just like, it's in my background.
Yeah.
So if you try to challenge yourself to do something a little different, even if you don't do it for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
And so you're like, that's great. I tried it.
So we need routine. Some of us don't. But we also need breaks from the routine. And I think for me, having a routine makes the time when I break it even better, you know, like more special and stuff. So, I mean, try something new at church. There's tons of stuff going on.
Sit somewhere different.
All the time. Oh, my God. What? Sit in a different pew at church? Never. We're Catholic. We don't do that. But we do, like, you know, yeah, try something new.
I do. You don't.
Go on a retreat. Watch The Chosen, Karen will tell you, right?
We have Alpha coming out.
Yep. Lots of things going on.
Lots of things going on.
So, yeah, in ordinary time, it doesn't have to be boring.
Right. Because there are a lot of times boring.
Right. I was thinking about Jesus in ordinary time. And to be honest, I didn't look a whole lot at the lectionary readings for this period. I just kind of wanted to think about things a little bit more broadly. But, you know, I think it's worth remembering that Jesus had a grind, too. I mean, his public ministry lasted 3 years or so, during which time he didn't have really a home base, right? He was kind of an itinerant preacher wandering around healing people and teaching people and sharing the good news. And, but he had to get up and do that every day and figure out every day where God was calling him, how to use his hours. Right?
But he always manages to leave his group and find time for prayer.
Right. Right. So the model of Jesus working every day, but also stepping away so that he had those moments with God that sustained him through his ministry. This is a great time of year to draw close to Jesus in his ministry years, too, you know. And even thinking about, I know we already did a whole episode on the missing years, but, you know, for decades he was a tradesman, right?
Yeah.
He got up and worked with wood and built things. And must have spent a whole lot of, there must have just been a whole lot going on in the background of his mind and his heart getting
him ready.
And Mary
was probably doing laundry and dishes and going to the market, making dinners.
So
they're great examples all around.
And think about for like Jesus and his disciples who were traveling, they were a traveling ministry. Think about the logistics of getting everybody fed and housed every day.
Yeah.
I mean, that must have just been a whole...
Watch The Chosen.
It's not like Jesus didn't have the same daily challenges that we all do. We do.
He had to put up their tents every night.
Oh, my gosh.
Could you imagine? Like,
no, I would not be in. It's kind of like camping, though, so you might like
it. Oh, I would totally. I would. Oh, yeah. In an instant.
Yeah.
I could do that.
You could.
I could do that.
Yeah. So just I think the challenge in the ordinary moments can be
extraordinary.
Yeah. To be grounded and to be so grounded in God that we can agilely move where his call takes us. Even if we've been, we're in our 40s, right? So we're like, we've been doing the same thing. I mean, we look great, but we've been doing the same thing every day for decades now, right? Do you ever just be, I'm not saying like we should air our midlife crisis
out
there.
No, you just totally like.
But like,
I've had
we've
a
been at it
over
for a
my
long
eyes.
Time. And do you ever look at like, what are the next 20 years going to be like?
No, I don't.
That's a different podcast episode.
No.
Okay.
I don't. Like I said, I am type B. I just like, I get up, I do my day, I go to bed. That's it.
Awesome.
And then I wake up and I just
do it all again.
Do it again in a different way. Like, yeah, I think the future for me, like, kind of stresses me out because I have no control over it.
Yeah.
Right. And so
that's
it's
the
like,
truth.
What that anxiety that I get from thinking about the future doesn't help me in my present.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had to learn that.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, okay, just stay in the present, stay grounded, and.
Well, that's a grace.
I'll deal with it when it comes.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause then I get too anxious.
That's fair.
So I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do in 20 years.
Well, hopefully we'll still be putting a podcast out every week. And we'll be a little more wise.
You'll have to do it from my camping spot in the Adirondacks because that's where I'm retiring.
That's fair. I did find a couple scripture passages for ordinary time.
Oh, we should probably tie that back
in. Should we wrap this up here with some scripture? So here's one I thought was just about kind of like everyday discernment. All right, like where is God's call in like just the ordinary day? So this is Ephesians 5, 15 to 17. Watch carefully then how you live, not as foolish persons, but as wise, making the most of the opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not continue in ignorance, but try to understand what is the will of the Lord. Like that, kind of like listening carefully to our everyday and being like, where are you calling me in this?
The best part of that scripture passage, try to understand.
Try. It just try. Say, you won't probably.
It doesn't say understand.
Just try.
Just try. It's like, we know you got a lot going on here today. Just try.
You're probably not going to get it right, but do your best. God is so understanding with us. Oh, here's one. Here's a great one for Catholics. Do you have a Catholic grandma who ever told you to offer it up?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So this is Romans 12:1. I urge you, therefore, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship. And, you know, we laugh about that as Catholics. Like, it's something, you know, you stub your toe and your grandma's like, just offer it up. But, like, it's a bigger mindset that, like, every day is a sacrament. Right? It's like the best thing about being Catholic is that we have a sacramental spirituality, which means like grace is everywhere. Grace is everywhere all the time. And so we can offer up every moment. But in a good way, not in like a grouchy, guilt-ridden way.
Well, and I think
in a joyful way.
I think we have a lot of people coming to that understanding. Because at St. Catherine's and Transfigurations, we are joyous people.
Yes.
Like, I'm biased, I know, because that's where we work. But going to other, and I'm not, in the country, let's just say, okay? Mm-hmm. Or other, whenever I travel.
Yeah.
There's, I don't know what it is, and I'm probably being biased, but there is something joyous and welcoming and just... there's a different feel.
We really try to show up with that energy.
Yeah, and
every week.
And I think
not just the people who work there, but the people who worship.
Yeah, and I think that not only does that draw people to worship with us, but I think they generally want that joy in their lives, and you can see it in their participation.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just like, oh, check this box because I have confirmation or communion.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they are wanting that joy to live out in their lives.
Okay. Last word. Here it is. You just segued it. John 10:10. This might be my favorite verse in the entire Bible.
Really?
This might be.
Okay.
I have come so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. God wants us to have life to the full, right? This was the theme to World Youth Day in Denver in 1993 when I was in high school, which was my conversion experience, one of many. But that was so I have always remembered this verse and taken it as a motto. But just God wants you to have the most life in every day of your life. The most love, the most joy, the most peace.
We need to end with that.
The most community. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The most of everything.
So make the most of your ordinary, extraordinary moments.
Yeah.
This week and this whole season.
Amen. Thanks, everybody.
Have an extraordinary week. Bye.
Thanks for taking a faith break with us today. Karen Luke and Ann Gallagher are lay ministers with the parishes of St. Catherine of Siena in Mendon, New York, and Church of the Transfiguration in Pittsford, New York. More about our parishes, including weekly live-streamed Sunday Mass, can be found at stcath.org or transfigurationpittsford.org. Engineering today is by Jeff Beckett. Join us for new episodes of Faith Break each week in studio on YouTube or on your favorite audio podcast or music app.